It's 2024. It's a brand new episode of The Kickout. I go by the name of Ryan Skillett.
I'm Mex.
We got a new member of The Click. It's 2024, so we like to expand every year like Bullet Club members. And this one is a wrestling enthusiast who messaged me on a DM one time telling me how much he loves wrestling, how much he loves my work and Mex's work, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'll bring him in to talk about his love for wrestling. His name is Ashton Owen. You're an actor. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
You got a love for wrestling. And any other fun fact you want to give here?
Fun fact. A fun fact about myself. This is fun. I played Mr. Tickle.
You played who?
You know Mr. Tickle from Mr. Men. That's why I've got that up there.
Okay. Is that the red one? That's the red one, but
that's the big orange one.
Oh, it's the orange one.
Yeah,
the squiggly arms.
Who's your favorite
time ago.
Let's start off this podcast with that. Who's everyone's favorite Mr. Men? Mex, I'm going to you first.
I think I don't know if the name is correct, but I'm sure it's Mr. Laugh. Or Mr. Giggles or something like that.
Yeah, Little Miss Giggles.
Yeah, Little Miss Giggles.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah.
what was yours, Ash?
Mine's Mr. Bump.
Mr. Bump. Yeah. I think mine was Mr. Lazy or Mr. Greed. This looked cool, you know?
You weren't expecting me to say this, were you?
No, I was not.
No.
They should do a Mr. Men film, though. They're making films of everything every day. Mm-hmm. Barbie, Minecraft is having a film. You might as well make a Mr. Men film. Make it work. How was everyone in 2024? And how is your love for wrestling going in 2024? I'm gonna start off with Mex. Mex, you know, you're kind of now a seasoned veteran in podcasts now. I see the boy turn into a man within years. And now people are you're in a position now which I knew you would be, where people are asking you for help and people are asking you for advice and how to get involved in the wrestling podcasting game. And you are someone that carved your own lane of people influenced by your work now. So how has that journey been for you since you started? Which you started when, 2018?
2020 is when I started.
2020?
Yeah.
I keep thinking it's like late 2018. Okay, so 2020 you started. Which was really a good time because a lot of your content would have been seen during the pandemic where everybody was at home. And I still see that shine in you. I still see that bright light. I still see that love and enthusiasm. As you can see with me, I've had some battle scars since I started. I've got a bit jaded, but people like Ash have said kind things that make me want to get back into it again. But how has it been for you, like the non-stop consistent work that you do, which I really commend, by the way, because I didn't do that as much as work as you've done. And how are you feeling about wrestling as a whole today?
Yeah, it's been a journey. I think what I did was I came out firing when I started. I was really determined, and you learn things within the industry, and I was still trying to find myself in terms of, do I just want to be a quote-unquote YouTuber? Do you want to do journalism? You bump into certain people, you hear certain stories, you try to find what will work best, what you can make a career of, what also pays well, and what you enjoy doing, and trying to mesh everything together. But right now, I'm just kind of, you know, back to that place of hunger and determination, and just trying to make the most. I think I'm going to do a lot of work this year in terms of just making content for myself and hopefully for other platforms. And obviously I'll link up with the Wrestling's boys, and we have the podcast over there, and I'm very heavy into myself and Anafi, like producing like brand new content away from podcasting, like regular podcasting and actual kind of TV show-esque kind of productions that we're doing over there. Just to try to present are, you know, the same conversations we have in different ways.
Sorry to cut you as well. Can I just say how talented Anafi is? Like,
can we he's a genius.
Give him a round of applause.
He's a genius. He's a genius.
His Foolish Professionals set up with his, I can't remember his right-hand man name.
Eddie.
Eddie. Them two, the fact that the stuff that they do and it's just them two, it's crazy. And to have your brain involved in that, that's a win-win, man. So yeah, keep pushing, man. That'd be
great. Yeah, thank you, man. So yeah, it's just to just keep going and really, really push. And I think with my own kind of wrestling journey, I've been enjoying wrestling a lot more so in the last year or two. Joined by the little one. So yeah,
he's cashing in.
So yeah, I think wrestling.
He's adorable, by the way. Very beautiful. He's got his mother's eye.
He looks like his mom. Yeah. Yeah. I just like, I think more now than ever is a time to just love wrestling and like the feelings coming back, sort of thing. So
yeah,
like it's just a good time.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into how much of a good time it is to be a wrestling fan again. I wanted to come to you, Ash. Ash, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Being a part-time member of the Kick Out, hopefully one day be a fully-fledged member one day. Tell me about yourself, your origin, your love for wrestling. How did that start? Who were your guys? Who were your boys? Ask Matt Rushmore question. Who was your top four ever? And how do you feel about wrestling today?
So I guess I got into I watched wrestling loads when I was in primary school, but I didn't have Sky. I'm of the generation where it was on free TV and then it just disappeared. And then you had to have Sky. My family couldn't afford it then. So when I'd go around my mates, I'd like catch like wrestling, WWE. And I always liked it. But then once we got Sky when I was in year seven, I was hooked. I remember the first time I watched it was when I got hooked, should I say, is when I watched the Royal Rumble and the Undertaker one. Yeah, 2007.
When Undertaker won.
Yeah. And I just like, I hadn't watched it like a full pay-per-view before. I hadn't watched a full event before. I'd only watched like matches. And I don't know, as a 10 year old, I thought The Undertaker was badass.
That's so interesting to me. It's interesting to see where people start their wrestling journey, because obviously wrestling is always larger than life, no matter what you think of it quality wise. It's always going to be larger than life, so there's always going to be something that draws people to that product, you know what I mean? But hearing that's very interesting to me. Okay, I'll shut up, keep going.
Yeah, so he Undertaker got me into it, and then once I started like watching more, I really liked Shawn Michaels, like, as you know, as the technical wrestler. And I guess looking back now, I guess I became a wrestler during the not so fun times between like 2008 and 12, when it wasn't a cool thing to watch, and I didn't tell anyone at school apart from a few of my mates, and then I'd invite them round and we'd go on the trampoline and I'd do all the moves.
But you know what's funny, Ash? A lot of people that you knew who were your mates that you didn't, they probably watched it too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's the funny thing about it.
Yeah. So yeah, I've always watched it. My Mount Rushmore. That's a hard one because there's so many different categories of wrestlers, isn't there? I guess I've got to put Undertaker on there as somebody got me into it. Bryan Danielson, definitely.
Love that.
Bryan Danielson. Ooh. The Rock.
Yeah, love that.
And who's the fourth one? Bryan Danielson, The Rock.
Someone that dominated your era that I'm surprised you haven't said. But then, you know, everybody...
I know. Are you talking about John Cena?
Yeah, no.
So I was a teenager when I was watching John Cena. I did not like John Cena. But now I appreciate him. I loved Edge. I thought Edge was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'll chuck Edge in there.
Okay. That's an interesting Matt Rushmore. Edge, Bryan Danielson, Danielson. Bryan Danielson, Edge, Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels. No, you said The Rock.
The Rock. Yeah. I think The Undertaker got me into it. The Rock is like...
It's the cream of the crop. Bryan Danielson is your wrestler guy. Yeah. As terms of a wrestler, that's your guy. And Edge, I guess, he's like one of your fan favorites. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's funny, right? When I watched Kofi versus Bryan at Mania, so my brother Andres, who I grew up with, loved wrestling as much as I did, but he kind of fell off after the whole Benoit. Benoit was a guy. But after Benoit did what he did, he stopped watching. So he was always like in and out. He knew about names. He knew, obviously, he knew about Daniel Bryan because of Ring of Honor. But he didn't really know about his WWE run, and he knew about CM Punk and whatnot. But when I brought him to watch WrestleMania with me in 2019, we saw Bryan versus Kofi. I noticed that everybody, myself, Ace, we were all like cheering for Kofi, right? We're like, oh, because it's Kofi Mania, right? I'm looking at my brother, and he's just like, he's in awe. He's just staring at the ring. And I'm like, bro, what's going on with you, man? Kofi. He's like, nah, you know what? I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I want Daniel Bryan to win. He couldn't believe what he was seeing in the ring. It was like, Bryan was this,
yeah, so
I mean, he's a mechanic, you know?
Great,
what I
mean? Man.
He's literally from 2002 to now, he's probably the goal.
Mm.
He probably is the goal from that era, that cloth, that era of wrestling, that TNA, early TNA, Ring of Honor style to now.
Yeah.
He probably is the goal.
Mm.
And how are you finding wrestling today, Ash? Are you loving it? Are you loving this whole stacked roster that's in WWE? Are you loving what AEW is producing? Do you watch New Japan? I'm not sure if you do. Do you like what's going on? Are you loving it?
There's so much at the moment. I think WWE is the best it's been in for a long time. The last couple of years, obviously, when Triple H took over, I think the storytelling's been so much better and not like these moments of, oh, and Brock Lesnar's come in and taken the title. Like, the stories have really been... Sometimes WWE is a bit predictable at the moment because, you know, all the beats where everything's going. But I think when Vince was in charge, you know, you'd be following one story and then he'd just be like, I'm not interested in it anymore.
Yeah.
So it's good for that. But there's so much, and like I was thinking about WrestleMania and thinking about how many people they've got, like Cody, The Rock now, Seth, Roman, just so many people, like so many big stars now. And what I like about WWE now, it's not just around one person. I know obviously Roman's the poster boy for it, but I think Triple H has done a good job of building other stars around him. Yes. Whereas I feel if Vince was still in charge, it would all still be just the Roman show, if that makes sense. And then with AEW, so I do watch AEW. I watch all the pay-per-views, and I catch up with like Dynamite and Collision. But I wouldn't say I'm into it as much. And at the moment, I was before, but it was during the whole CM Punk stuff. Everything just felt, when he left, it was clear that there was a story there that didn't happen anymore. And Tony Khan didn't capitalize on the stars that he's got now. So it just felt, I think it's good now. Like, I feel like they're coming out the other end of it with Swerve and MJF losing the title with the devil story. But New Japan, I don't watch. I haven't watched much of that. I never know when it's on. I wake up and there's no loads of news about it. And I'm like, oh, I've missed that. Like Dolph Ziggler's in New Japan.
You're on stage when New Japan's on, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Performing. You know?
Yeah.
Highlights is already finished. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, we're going to dig deep into some WWE and what's going on. And we'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom next, if you don't mind. Talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's quickly talk about AEW first. Since CM Punk has left, Mex, how are you finding the product? Do you think obviously, it was a bit of a big blow. And a lot of things had to change. And obviously, they've had a lot of injury worry for some of their main stars as well recently. But do you think they're on their way back in 2024 to being back to great as great as they were a few years ago?
Yeah, I think the last 2 years for AEW has been a bit of a funny one. Like, they came out the gate, you know, everyone's very interested, shiny new toy kind of syndrome. They had the hard time with the pandemic to contest with, but they've done a pretty good job to stay afloat and still produce a really good wrestling show at that time when it's hard to watch wrestling. The last 2 years have been a bit of a mess, probably largely caused by CM Punk. But especially with the Continental Classic Tournament late last year that ran for the last, 6 to 8 weeks of last year. I think that really kind of got them back to their roots as opposed to, you know, just pure wrestling, giving us these one-time matchups, giving the people time to go and really just showcasing ability. That's what the show was always meant to be about. They said that they were the alternative. They said they were going to have a more sports presentation. And this was arguably the first time we had seen that in about 2 to 3 years. So they've done a really good job to kind of bring people back in. They've had, one Dynamite show since this beginning of this year. And I'll say that show was very good as well. Simple, straightforward stories are being told. Wrestling is at the core of it all again. Yes, there are a couple angles which are kind of hokey and gimmicky, but if you give those to the right people, the right sports entertainers and stuff, and let the professional wrestlers amongst them to do the professional wrestling, I think it's fine, and keep it to a minimum, I think it's cool. So I would say they've started the year off well. They ended last year well. There's still things they need to sort. There's a load of belts. There's a load of belts that it's like all mean the same thing. They've just crowned this Continental Crown thing that Eddie Kingston's carrying around. And it's like his first opponent to defend against was Trent Barretta. Doesn't really feel big time when you've beaten Moxley, Danielson, all of these people to win it. Now your first person defending against Trent Barretta. The women's division is a ever-continuing conversation. But it looks like they're making a lot of recruitment into that division to make it better. So the talent's there. It's now Tony Khan. Over to you. Do you care about women's wrestling enough to book it well? So yeah, there's a lot on the high side, but still stuff that they can work on.
Is it a wild statement for me to think that they're trying to maybe position Eddie Kingston not to completely be a replacement for CM Punk? I guess Edge has kind of become that a bit. But like in terms of mouthpiece, someone who's controversial speaking on the mic, somebody that can kind of like, I'm not comparing him to CM Punk, by the way, to do that. Do you think that's where they want to kind of position Eddie Kingston to be like another CM Punk? I'll go to Ash first.
Let's see what Mex answers to that. I'm not sure. Like Mex said, I don't really know where he's trying to book him. Like Mex said, being against John Moxley and Brian Danielson, and then facing Trent Barretta. It feels like he's just gone back down to, I don't know, the upper mid card. So I don't really think that he could be the next CM Punk for AEW, because he's got the fans, he's got the crowd behind him. It's just a shame that he's not being pushed up a bit more. But I think, I don't know, in my personal opinion, I feel like Tony Khan, even though he's bought Ring of Honor, he doesn't see Ring of Honor like on the level of AEW. So to me, that him being the IRH champion just symbolizes that's where Tony Khan sees him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And Max, what do you think? Do you think he just someone to have a good hand, but not to someone that's gonna get a beat, not someone that's gonna become a main eventer one day? Or do you see Eddie Kingston becoming a main eventer?
I don't know. Like, I feel like he's had times where he's had more momentum behind him than he currently has. When you feel like, okay, maybe he could ascend to the world title. But, you know, right now you could argue he's on an audition for a world title. He's got, you know, the Ring of Honor title, this Triple Crown, the New Japan Strong and the Continental Classic Belt, whatever they're calling it. Like, these are your opportunities to audition that I could be a great world champion if given the opportunity. And I don't think they're going to book him well enough to just be for us to care to ascend to the world title. There is a growing queue of people that, you know, you would think Samoa Joe is champion now, whether by default because of MJF's injury or, you know, I think he was deserving and it's a good story beat to have Joe as champion. For sure, we're probably getting this year Swerve as champion. For sure, this year as well, we're probably getting Ospreay as champion. Adam Cole, once he's fit, his name is right in the hat. Then MJF is going to come back and probably have claim to, you know, reclaim his gold.
Yeah. So it's exciting. They have definitely set up exciting times
ahead. Yeah. I don't think Kingston is on that list. But he's good where he is and people love him, win, lose, draw. You know, people love Kingston. And I think that's probably where he he feels? Does he ever get that moment, you know, that Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 moment where the underdog finally reaches the top? I don't know.
Let's talk about the devil angle quickly. If Adam Cole wasn't injured, do you think that'd be one of the best payoffs they've ever done in AEW? Or do you think him always becoming the devil was just not what you wanted? And were you happy with him becoming the devil? Like, what did you guys think of the reveal of Adam Cole as the devil with MJF?
I would say that it had to be Adam Cole by the time everything was said and done. Like, if it wasn't Adam Cole and they were just going to swerve us for the sake of swerving us, that probably would have been quite annoying and like insulted your intelligence as an audience member. So yeah, at the end of the day, I'm happy that the long over protracted devil attacking kind of stuff, like, you know, if this was WWE, they kill WWE for retribution. Like, and I don't feel like a lot of people said how nonsense this was. But I think at the end of the day, now we have something we are used to seeing. Adam Cole, leader of a faction. This is where he does his best work as a heel, leader of a faction. He's already come out and kind of given the, as he called it in NXT, it was the undisputed prophecy. And it's basically the same thing he said here, that these guys have got the tag team titles. Roderick's going for the international. Wardlow's going for the world title, and he's going to hand it to me when I'm fitting well.
I love it. You saw Wardlow's face when you said that.
Yeah, Wardlow's like, all right, mate. All right.
Yeah, they're already sowing the seeds for something there. That's great.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
You're absolutely right. Like, I think Adam Cole was the right decision. A lot of AEW people don't know how good he is as a heel leader as a faction, because some AEW people don't know about anything beyond AEW. You know what I mean? So you have the neutral fans who know both, but you have some AEW fans who just only know Adam Cole's work because of AEW. So when they see how good he is as a heel, it's going to happen. Ash, were you happy with the Adam
Cole? Yeah, I think, it was the right decision for it to be Adam Cole. I think because there was a part of me where I was like, I just want this to end. I want this to be revealed, because they just longed it out so much. I'm assuming it's because of his injury. I wonder whether...
Definitely.
It would have been before at Wrestle Dream or something like that. And the fact that MJF was like so injured, it got to the point where, you know, the story has to end at World's End. I think it was right. It wouldn't have made sense for it to be like Hangman Page or something like that. But now we're talking about AEW a lot now. I do think 2024 is going to be a good year for them, because they've got so much set up for the year. I'm also interested to see what happens with Samoa Joe, how long he holds that for, if he is just a transitional champion.
I hope he's not. I think at least give him 6 months. Give him 6 months at the time. I mean, Max thinks he's going to transition.
I think, Swerve is really hot right now.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so, I think Swerve is the next champion.
Yeah.
If he beats Samoa Joe, I don't know if that's the case, but Swerve is outstanding. He's phenomenal. He's one of the best workers in the wrestling industry, in no matter what company you work for. But I feel I think Joe deserves his due in terms of a long, at least 6 months.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. You know, the problem, right, is it's literally Swerve is so hot. And Ospreay is coming. Like, it's literally, that's why it's not nothing against Samoa Joe. I'd love to see a 1 year reign for Samoa Joe just tearing apart the roster. But I think maybe he keeps it to, they're putting in loads of new pay-per-views right now. So they've got Revolution, which I think is early March. I don't know if they'll do anything in April or whatever the case is. But I think somewhere around there, he drops it. Give him like a reign, like when Miro won the TNT title. Miro only had like 8 defenses of that title within like a relatively short span, maybe about 4 months or so. But because the defenses were so impactful, he was literally ripping apart guys. Like, it felt like, oh my God, this is just a dominant champion and no one can take the belt from him. When eventually, like I say, he lost it after 3-4 months. but it's just the way they book. If he loses at Revolution in March, but they've booked him as a killer between now and March, and he's, yeah, like, torn people apart on Dynamite and Collision and whatever, I don't think it will be the end of the world for him to just have had it in essence for 3 months or something.
Yeah. I agree. And we're going to move on to Wrestle Kingdom, but before we do, Andrade going back to the WWE, he was never really utilized like he should have been at AEW. I understand the whole, you join a new company and you need to have the slow build to get back up, but sometimes there's certain stars I feel should have just been projected straight to the main event slot or even a mid-title reign or whatever. I think Andrade was one of them, and I don't think he was utilized well. To do the same thing with Aleister Black, or Malakai Black, I should say. To do the same thing with Miro. I don't even think they haven't used Miro as well as they should have. Do you think he was wasted at AEW? And what are your thoughts of him going back to WWE? I'll go to you first, Ash.
I think he was wasted at AEW. He wasn't used. I remember when he first went over there from WWE and just thinking they're going to shoot him to the top and he's going to be one of their main guys. But yeah, he just hasn't been used very well. And I don't know I can't remember what happened with him and Sammy Guevara or whatever happened like backstage.
Yeah, when he slapped him.
Yeah, slapped him. And like, I feel since then he's just hated being there, hasn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, Jericho's pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate. That's just me speculating. I don't know anything that's actually happened backstage. But I do agree. Since the slap,
yeah,
he definitely wasn't used.
And also, interestingly, Sammy Guevara has just come back in the last couple of weeks. I know that might not have anything to do with him leaving now, but I do think he'll be used well in WWE, though, because he was used well in NXT. I think he'll be used well.
Lex, what do you think about the departure of Andrade?
Yeah, AEW are definitely to blame. I don't think Andrade's faultless. I think you can't come into these companies and think, I was at WWE or whatever the case is, and think they're going to, you know, roll out the carpet for you.
Yeah.
Especially where, you know, there was a lot of similar talents. You mentioned Malakai Black, Miro, all of these kind of same level of talents, guys that hadn't been anywhere and been like the super top guy, but we all know they can wrestle and be brilliant. They all came into the same place together. So there's always going to be like congestion around that upper mid card. You got to take your opportunities. You often didn't. Yes, there was injuries as well. Yes, AEW have to play a part by, you know, they didn't really book him well at all. So yeah, there was just a lot of kind of mixed things. He's gonna go back to WWE where he's comfortable, where his missus is. And I now hope he really pulls his finger out. You know, Triple H has shown immense faith in him in the past. And brought him in, made him champion of NXT and everything like that. So, you know, if he plays his cards right, he could have a similar ascent, although, of course, the main roster crowd is different. He needs to take his chance. And talking about Andrade, I think Miro as well. I was watching that at Wrestle Dream and I thought, whatever, this match is kind of nonsense in terms of outcome. Like, they've just forced story just to do this. Andrade is now going into the sunset. Miro, you're now here, left here with your wife. This is, I guess, the pairing you guys are used to. You're next on the chopping block if you don't kind of get things together. And Miro, there has been reports in the past of him rejecting creative ideas. He doesn't want to job out to certain people and stuff like that. Like, you can't.
Yeah,
you
know, that's nonsense. That's
on
nonsense.
TV right now. So yeah. Like.
No, that's
not together. Otherwise, yeah, you're not gonna be great, and you're gonna have to carry your tail between your legs, asking for your job back elsewhere as well. So, I want both men to do well, but obviously in their respective companies. No.
That's why I like you, Mex. You're not on the bias nonsense. You call out
all parties. Bro, my dad owns none of these companies. If my dad owned these companies, exactly. I'd be invested in one over the other. But exactly. My dad don't own them, so
let's call it as it is. You know what I mean? Like, and absolutely, what you just said there was spot on. Like, I understand some frustrations must be a part of the whole, I don't want to job to this person, but at the end of the day, it's still unprofessional. And you still don't want to help a whole backlog of people who ain't got nothing to do with how you're feeling. People just need help to get to the next level too, and how people did for you when you were Rusev. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I get it. It's frustrating and you're not getting used right. But yeah, it's the whole not wanting to work, is not helpful either. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom 18, which will be the first Wrestle Kingdom under the new president, Hiro Tanahashi, which is great. He's now become the new president of Wrestle Kingdom. And he obviously wrestled in the card as well. I don't really want to get into the whole card because I'm going to be honest. I feel like Wrestle Kingdoms these days has become
repetitive.
Yeah, like same old now, man. And it's like they don't want to change it. The one thing about WWE, even though they were doing same old for a little while, at least they would throw in a new match at a Mania sometimes or change up a little bit. Like, oh, here's a new match that we've introduced. Money in the Bank is new. Or we're going to do the Andre Giant Battle Royal or something new. Like, I'm just seeing the same kind of card every year. So I don't want to talk about the New Japan Rambo. I mean, there was a tag team match. You know what? I'm going to be honest as well. I haven't watched New Japan for a whole, I think since 2022. I didn't even really watch any of 2023 New Japan. So I know that TJP has now got a new gimmick where he's got like some sort of.
So it's basically, I can't remember when it was, on another pay-per-view, basically, in New Japan. He was killed. He's dead, basically.
Right.
So the gimmick was he's come back as, I guess it's a zombie. But the zombie represents something within Philippine culture. That's what he was, wow, like, dressed as, sort of thing.
Let's skip that. Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Zack Sabre Jr. for the NJPW World Television Championship. Max, what do you think they are doing with Zack Sabre Jr.? Because like he's been at New Japan for years and he's always putting out classics. He's always great. But I just don't think, even though he's won titles and stuff, I don't see him as a bona fide star like he should be, in my opinion.
I think his time is coming. I think this is literally it. I laughed my head off watching Wrestle Kingdom last Thursday morning because, like you said, Tanahashi's just become president. And what did he do? First course of action, he booked himself to win the TV title against ZSJ. I was laughing my head off. I said, you guys are all the same. You get power, you book yourselves to win. But I, you know, once it settled down, I thought, this is it for Zach. Like, I think they all positioning him to now be the next top gaijin, the next top guy within New Japan that's, you know, not Japanese, sort of thing. So I think they are moving him up the card. Maybe it happens still in another year's time or whatever, but they've cleared the deck of those top level gaijins, and Zach is, like you say, is the one that's left. Whether people perceive him as, you know, some of those other previous names, AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, Jay White, that's another question. But in ability, he's there in spades. So I think this is what Tanahashi aimed to do with this.
Call me crazy. I'm gonna go straight into the Tama Tonga match with Shingo. Call me crazy. Was this the best match on the card? Because I thought it was, but I know it's only 12 minutes long, and then you had the whole
Shingo's brilliant.
100%, bro. 100%.
Shingo is a phenomenal wrestler that this company, I don't think they respect him because he's not like one of their own, because he wrestled at Dragon Gate and maybe some other places.
Am I right in thinking he's a former champion?
Yeah, he won the championship during the pandemic.
That's what I was thinking.
And since people been outside again, it's like, you were just like our pandemic champion. Like,
bro, he's crazy, bro. He's one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he is. That's the thing, he is.
Incredible, bro.
But he obviously wrestled that match against Tama Tonga for the open weight title. Last year, he won the, what do they call it? The King of Something Championship, which is basically it was a pre-show match where he won a title. And it's like, Shingo on the pre-show, what are you lot doing?
Yeah,
it feels very vindictive, like why they aren't pushing him, sort of thing.
Weird, bro. Yeah. That was a great match. Tama Tonga finally wins the never open weight championship. I saw your tweet, Max, and you mentioned that it was looking like Tama Tonga was about to leave New Japan. Is that true?
He's leaving. He's leaving at the end of the month. Yeah. So it's very strange booking. Why did he win the title? And now he literally said in the press conference after the match, like, this is the end of his contract. I think he might have some other dates this month, but by the end of January, he's leaving. He's been obviously in New Japan since 2010 or something like that.
He's been there a long time.
See, so his family, he wants to go back to his family. He probably wants to get some type of deal within a company in America.
Come WWE, Tama. Don't go AEW. Come WWE. Yeah, you'd be great there. But you'd be great in AEW too.
I think allegedly they wanted him last year or so. So
WWE?
So I'm guessing that's probably where he's going to land.
Bloodline? I mean, I know.
I hope not.
I know he's Haku's children, but Haku was in the tag team of Rikishi. So
yeah, I hope not.
Do you remember that tag team in 2001?
Yeah.
Terrible.
No, not good at all.
It's not good. Okay. So wow, did Shin go like that? Because he's leaving and he's still giving the belt. This screams when Benoit won the WWE title. he already gave his notice to go to WWE.
To leave.
And then he beat Sid for the title. And he was like, what's going on here? And then Kevin Nash and all of them, you're the truth, Benoit. No, man.
Let him hold on to it.
All right. Guerrillas of Destiny. Wait, hold on. It says here, I remember this match.
ELP versus Hikaleo, sorry, versus... Yeah.
Are they called Guerrillas of Destiny now?
I guess that's their splinter faction off of Bullet Club.
Okay. But they won the titles, didn't they?
They won the IWGP tag titles
against Goto and Hashi. It was a good match. They're getting, I think that, what's his name? Hikaleo. He's getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, when he first came on the scene, I didn't rate him.
He's
getting better.
Likewise.
El Desperado, which is a bad boy wrestler, by the way, he defeated Takahashi.
Yeah.
In heavyweight. That was a good match as well. But I have to admit, man, like some of these matches, I do love New Japan. I grew up watching New Japan, so I do love New Japan. But I feel like some of these matches, they just take me out sometimes. And some of the characters as well. Like, I think New Japan did a really good job of rebranding their brand to have more larger than life characters instead of just technical wrestlers.
Yeah.
But some of these characters today, I'm just a bit like, I'm just not. There's nothing about you. Like, you're a good wrestler because you're gonna be a good wrestler because you work for New Japan. Like.
These two just dominate the junior heavyweight division. If you go look at the Wrestle Kingdom card last year, this was the match. Hiromu won it last year. Hiromu win it the year before that. Like it's just same old, same old. So for him to walk into Wrestle Kingdom this year as champion and drop it to Despy is actually something different.
Right.
But it's still the same guys involved, sort of thing.
Yeah,
so
okay. They
definitely need to refresh this division and bring some new names in.
I enjoyed this next match, the triple threat match between David Finlay, the son of Fit Finlay, Will Ospreay and John Moxley. This was supposed to be initially Will Ospreay versus John Moxley for the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship, but David Finlay attacked both of them, right? Or did he attack one of them?
He attacked them both. He destroyed the United States the IWGP United States title and the UK one that Ospreay was carrying around. Then they had to make this new title, the Global Championship.
That's right.
They had the triple threat match, which was brilliant, like you say.
Brilliant.
And Finlay won it.
Big up Finlay, man. Like he's a very good wrestler. I don't think he has the technical ability like his dad did.
Mm.
But he's getting there. He's still young, I'm assuming. So he's getting there. But he's a good cat. One thing he has that his dad didn't have, he's got great character work. He can work as a heel really well. So this was a great back and forth match. Ashton, if you haven't watched it, I would recommend checking that match out.
Did something happen with Nick Nemeth or something?
I was going to mention that. Oh. So we had Nick Nemeth, which is Dolph Ziggler and his brother. What's his brother's name?
Ryan.
In the audience, spectating, and that was good. He got a nice little reception from the crowd as well. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was excited. This is what I want to see. The likes of the Dolph Ziggler, the Mustafa Ali's, these guys need to get into New Japan. Like, Like, come, you could do the AEW thing while you're in Japan or after Japan, but at least do, like, show people how good you are. Because there's so many people who are like, they're my brethren, but they're like, they love AEW or New Japan to a fault where they will only rate a wrestler once they step into that world. Yeah. So you can see somebody in WWE for years, and all three of us know how good this guy is. And that guy, if he actually wanted to, will know how good these guys are. Yeah. But because they're so associated with WWE, they can't see it. And then when they come to this independent style wrestling, they start loving them. So
yeah.
I think Dolph will do really well in Japan. And I just hope he kind of stays away from the Shawn Michaels stuff, though. But start do some new moves. Do what you've done before, but change up a bit.
Well, he's a wrestler at heart, isn't he? He's done amateur wrestling, so
he's a technical wrestler. Yeah,
this is the domain to kind of show that.
So I can't wait to see that. Good. So yeah, so David Finlay attacked him after the match, and then they had a fight backstage at the press conference. Ziggler jumped on him like that guy that jumped on the judge, and then picked up the belt and was like, "I'm here now." It's your typical, you know, they do a lot of feuds based on press conference attacks and all that stuff. So I can't wait to see what Nick Nemeth.
Yeah, for me, as someone who doesn't watch New Japan, like, I definitely want to see Nick Nemeth to see how he is in that, you know, in that environment rather than WWE. Yeah.
I was saying on my podcast yesterday, right, that, and I know I've heard you say this before, Skillet, that Ziggler should have left in like 2016.
100%.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, if he'd done this and refreshed himself, like, even when, like, Cody did it, because he's a superior wrestler to Cody, you know, Cody done it with his business hat on, and obviously we saw what came of that, and All In, and AEW, and eventually he's returned to WWE now, but Ziggler could have raised his stock tenfold, just like Cody did, just from a wrestling standpoint, and walked back into WWE as a big deal. And it's interesting to see this, because Ziggler's a millionaire. He's not, you know, short on money. And I thought he had an interest in his, you know, his comedy stuff that he does. Yeah. So it's very interesting to see him do this. And I hope he actually wants to do it from the more so the Japanese standpoint. I hope they don't just use him to do like their American Japanese shows, like when New Japan is in America, trying to kind of cross over to the West and stuff like that. Because if he really wants to do this, he could literally have like a second big run in his entire career, like where he does New Japan, he does AEW, he could go back to WWE and, you know, walk into like a main event, as you know, kind of picture. So it'll be very interesting to see how he, you know, how invested he is in this run.
I agree.
Yeah, he would never have left WWE if he didn't get the boot.
I think
he was just happy getting the money.
He was. And I think things like that, when you get a bit of an wake-up call like that, like, oh, right, okay, so I'm not going to be at WWE forever. What am I going to do now? And I guess maybe he was angry. Maybe that sparked a little bit of fire in his belly. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to show people how good I am. And I agree with you, Matt. So I hope that's what it is.
I'm here to show the world. Is that in the lyrics of this song?
I'm with some five-star classics. That'd be great. Let's talk about, I don't know if this was a five-star classic, because I don't like to throw around the five-star classic title as much as a lot of people like to. Okada versus Daniel Bryan part two, or Bryan Danielson part two. Good match, very good match. I mean, these are two goats. Like, they're always going to produce a great matches. Max, what did you think of this match? And do you think you're better than the part one in AEW?
For me, this was a million times better than the AEW match. Like, a million times. Like, that AEW match, they wrestled, like, in first gear. And even for them too, first gear is, like, still brilliant sort of thing. But by the end of it, I was just like, oh, okay. Like, it's done sort of thing. Like, I felt emotion in this one. And obviously, a lot has happened since. Danielson has got two wins over Okada, one in the singles match, one in the tag match. By the end of the day, Danielson's left both of those matches severely injured, because Okada got the best of him in terms of getting him injured. And now you're stepping into Okada's turf, the Tokyo Dome. Maybe it was just because there's more story behind this one. this was brilliant. And I'm not wanting to give like star ratings on my own personal star rating, whatever, but yeah, I felt this was so much better than the AEW indoor match.
Definitely, I'll definitely give it around a 4. But brilliant, a brilliant match between the two of them. It was brilliant. Back and forth. Brian was doing when Okada was taking off the eye patch and attacking his eye, and Brian bringing back the yes chant. And
yeah, Danielson got the Japanese crowd to scream yes. Like, it was so bad. Yeah,
I could see a third one on the cards, right? Because Okada won this match, didn't he? Am I right?
Yeah, Okada won this one. So yeah, in terms of singles matchups, they're one apiece now. So maybe they run it back at Forbidden Door in AEW later on this year.
And let's talk about the main event, Naito versus Sanada. He's been the champion all year, or how long has he had the belt?
Pretty much like 9 months he's been champion.
That's somebody that should have been the champion time ago.
But
he finally got the belt. He changed up his look as well. He's a bit, looks more like Chono. You remember?
Yeah. He changed up his look as he won the title. For me, the run was underwhelming. I don't really know if the people in New Japan were, like, the bookers were really behind him. They wanted to like try something different, but when you try something different, you actually have to try and do other stuff. It's not just put the belt on someone that's never had it and then just go, okay, on your way, sort of thing. So they've tried. I think him and Naito delivered a match better than the feud and everything deserved. Like, the match was really good as a main event. Naito has won that title again now. Sanada,
a two-time champion or a three-time champion?
I think it might be three-time IWGP champion. But I think because of whatever happened afterwards, where House of Torture came out and started attacking Naito, and then Sanada came to make the save, Naito's given Sanada like a rematch off the back of that. So we'll see that. But
we'll talk about Riddle in a minute, but what did you really enjoy Wrestle Kingdom this time, and what would you rank it out of?
I think the matches, like the show, was better than like the excitement. There was no excitement going into this card, sort of thing. Like, as you saw, there's a load of people just announcing afterwards. ELP as well, Phantasmo, he said, like, yeah, his contract is up coming end of January. We already know Ospreay's out the door. You know, next month Okada's contract is up this month, but he probably would just resign. Like, there wasn't a lot to be invested in, because he's like, people's futures are just up in the air, sort of thing.
It's true.
But yeah, the wrestling on the day, on the night, was really good as always. I would say 3.5 out of 5 or so.
Yeah, I think that's a fair ranking. I agree. All right, let's talk a little bit. Oh, right, Riddle showed up in New Year's Dash, the Raw after Mania. And there was a video package. Who did he interrupt?
I can't remember who he interrupted, but he called out Tanahashi to have a match for the TV title that Tanahashi just won. And Tanahashi's response was basically along the lines of, he translates as, "I'll defend this title against anyone, but I don't know who this guy is." So yeah, that's gonna be good.
That's a great way to introduce a potential star of your company. I don't know.
He's the president. They bury everyone. The minute you give them power, they move mad, like
Vern Gagne style. You know what I mean? Okay, well, you know, let's see what Riddle does in New Japan, because he's a good talent. He's gonna have to behave himself in Japan. They don't ramp there with all that stuff. So. All right. Let's talk about some of the world of WWE right now. Some big news. AOP has returned. They've returned on SmackDown with Paul Ellering, and they've joined forces with Karrion Kross. Ash, were you a fan of NXT when AOP was doing their thing at the time?
Yeah, I was.
Is this a good look for Karrion Kross, in your opinion? Is this a good booking for a new...
I do think so. I think Karrion Kross just needs something. Yeah. He looks like a star, but I don't know what it is, but there's just nothing there. He's hard to watch. that's all I'd say, really. Watching him, he's just very bland. There's nothing there, but at the same time, it's also, obviously, it's to do with the booking. And
It's interesting to me, because I remember him in TNA when he was the world champion.
Mm.
And he was really good. Like, even when he signed to WWE, I was like, oh, they've got a potential star here.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
But you're right, though, but I can't, objectively speaking, like, I haven't seen any of that Karrion Kross translate over to WWE. Yeah.
I would argue he was good in NXT.
Yeah, he was good in NXT, yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
I think he had...
the Adam Cole promo.
Well, that's what killed him, isn't it? But I feel like he started off really well in NXT. Sorry, me moving around. I need to charge my MacBook. But I just feel like I still got my tree as well. I need to take it. It's on the 8th. This is really
embarrassing. Is that bad luck?
I think so. I think I'm gonna. Anyway, Mex is right. He was when he first came on NXT. It was good to watch. But then, I don't know. Maybe it was the pandemic. I don't know. There was a time where I was just like, rah, this is actually really painful to watch him. But I never wanted to admit that because I still had a soft spot for him. Mm. But when Adam Cole said what everybody else was thinking,
it
was done. But hopefully they can revive him with this. And I think I'm glad to see AOP back. Because you were speaking about, you and I, not too long ago, talked about, it's a shame. I remember you said last time you were on the kickout, you said, it's a shame that AOP left because they were doing great things. They'll get better all the time. They're back, baby. How do you feel? I'm going to just, so it doesn't look awkward, I'm going to just like stop my cam and put my charger on. But Mex, you give it away with
me. No problem. Yeah. Boy, they said that AOP's been re-signed to WWE for the last year and a half.
Mm. And that is true.
Anything to do, like any way to book them or anything like that. So it's good they finally found a way to do it. They've put them inside this faction with Karrion Kross. It seems like the faction is going to be called the Final Testament. There's been a lot of stuff online today that WWE just trademarked that, which for me, it's a good name. It kind of sounds Judgment Day-ish.
It does,
but and aesthetically, the group kind of looks like early Judgment Day as well. But I think for Karrion Kross, to be honest, this is his last chance salute. Triple H looks like he is fairly invested in Karrion Kross doing well. He's brought him back to the company and, you know, he's been quiet for a year and a bit now. But, you know, if Roman is about to drop this title, Cody's going to win it. We need to start making other credible challengers at the very least, other main eventers. So if he kind of maybe hides Karrion Kross's deficiencies within a faction, just lets him go out and be menacing, this could be someone that we see, you know, somewhere down the line. It won't be now. We don't expect to see him at the top of the card now, but you never know. By the end of this year, he could at least be a good title defense for whoever the champion is. And then depending how everyone takes to him, you could be looking at a potential champion or a real challenger by, you know, next year or so.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's see what happens with the rise of Karrion Kross. I do like that name, the Final Testament, as a faction. I just hope they don't do Vince McMahon style and dress them all up as vicars. Keep them the way they look right now. Speaking of... no one said anything about cancel culture. But speaking of cancel culture, Velveteen Dream, apologize. You apologize to Triple H, apologize to Shawn Michaels, apologize to WWE fans, apologize to some of the friends that was there for him. He says that he wasn't mature enough to understand what he was doing. I don't know. He said that he didn't really apologize to any victims that he spoke to or tried to sexually harass online or wherever. He didn't mention that. He just said that how he dealt with things was very immature. He was full of shit. He didn't, you know, he didn't think his shit stank, whatever. He's very sorry, whatever. Do you guys think they should bring him back? And if so, should he have a new gimmick? Velveteen, Jonathan Majors, Dream. I mean, he didn't physically assault anyone, but you know what I mean. What do you guys think? Do you think it's a good idea to bring him back, or should it just be like, sorry, buddy, not so good. Ash, we'll go to you first.
There's just too much controversy about it. Like, I haven't even, to be honest, I haven't watched the video because of everything that came out about what he did. It's just not. I just don't think it's a good look for WWE, unless he, he didn't apologize. He hasn't apologized to the victim. So it seemed, I don't know.
He didn't really, like, he apologized, but he didn't really address. He kind of went on like what he did wasn't what they tried to say that he did.
Oh, right. But okay.
The way he handled things and the way he was acting wasn't great. So he apologizes for that. That was kind of
the
apology, right?
Yeah. You are. I think a lot of, and it would never be perfect because this is the core of the internet. This is the core of Twitter. Everyone would always have something to say. He didn't mention what he's actually apologizing for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He apologized to people, like we said, but he hasn't actually mentioned what he's apologizing for. So if you just stumbled across this guy, if you're a new wrestling fan within the last two years, and you hear that this guy used to be a wrestler for WWE, and you see him now apologizing to all these legends, but why is he apologizing? Yeah. So I guess some people have an issue with he hasn't actually mentioned what he's apologizing for, and obviously the apology should be as loud as the disrespect was and how uncomfortable it was for that victim. For me, do we need Velveteen Dream back? Listen, he was excellent.
He was
a time in history. He was brilliant.
Yeah. He was,
are we starving? Do we need to bring Velveteen Dream back? We don't need him. It's not like the company's in a downturn and it's like, okay, we have to kind of, you know, throw a closed eye to certain things and bring this guy back because he'll change our fortunes. We've got a number of starlets budding in NXT. We've got more main eventers than we know what to do with right now on the main roster. Like, there's talent from across the road in AEW that are coming, looking at their contracts. Ricky Starks is going to be here in the next couple of months. Sure. Like, we're talking about people that have that kind of similar character. Rick Williams in NXT, loud, you know, bobacious kind of character. These are guys that are now all filling that Velveteen Dream void, if you like. So
I agree.
I just think he had his time. His character was so specific. Even the character tread on the lines of, you know, are we getting a bit too racy with some stuff here or not? But yeah, they don't need him, and if they don't need him, they definitely don't need the hassle. So
yeah, he was flying too close to the sun, I think.
It's crazy because John Cena said that he's like the next megastar.
No, he would have been. He would have been.
100%.
He would have been. He was fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
No. There's only a few wrestlers. There's a lot of wrestlers with charisma, loads of wrestlers who engage you, whatnot. But there's only a few that you can watch. Like, you can't get your eyes off the show. And he had that.
Yeah,
Brock had that. Austin had that.
Karrion Kross doesn't.
Who else had that next? It's just them two.
You said Rock, Austin, in terms of like big, large in life characters.
Like someone that you just can't, like, you just tune in and you have, like, you're, A, you would be kind of excited to watch him. B, you can't, once he's on the screen, you don't look away. A lot of wrestlers do have that, but I think like Rock.
It's a handful, like you're saying. It shouldn't be easy to think of a lot. Mm. Yeah, it's a handful. I would say at certain points, Macho Man had that. But yeah, it's, you know, these Rick are people Blair. That are able to wow you without their in-ring. This is just, you know, they're just a great TV character. Like, so.
I guess Warrior had that too, you know.
Yeah, Warrior, I would say. Yeah.
And it's not like WWE is going through what Manchester United is going through and trying to get Greenwood in, you know. So that's kind of similar to that. Anyway. Anything else I need to talk about before we sign off, mate? So if there's anything I haven't thought about. The Rock returned. The Rock cut a promo against a really good promo with Jinder Mahal, by the way. Big up Jinder Mahal. That was big up Jinder. Jinder was doing some good work there. I was actually impressed. I'm like, Jinder, you went back to the performance center and you stepped up your promo game. And The Rock come out, he quoted Sheiky Baby, Iron Sheik. And he did lose me though. I ain't gonna lie to you, because The Rock, he's older now and it's like, The Rock hasn't been listening to him. He started doing the singing stuff and I'm like, oh, Rock, don't do this, man.
They need to just get him in the ring with Roman. I think him and Roman will bring back that fire within The Rock, where it's like, all right, he actually might cook Roman because he doesn't want to lose it.
That's what you said. Love Cena, hate Cena, but I have to admit, I didn't get it at the time what Cena was doing. And I was like, have some respect for The Rock, boy. What you did? And now I get it, because it's like you don't want hokey rock. Cena wanted the Rock that he grew up loving and watching. He wanted that Rock. Yeah. So that's why he went off script and said what he said, and the Rock got angry.
Yeah.
I just don't want the Rock to cut promos with Roman Reigns and his thing.
When it's Roman in that ring, I trust it's going to be them. Both of them are going to be spitting fire. Plus Paul Heyman's there. Heyman's but right now, they fed Jinder to him. So he done all the greatest hits, or what he believes are still the greatest hits in terms of how he does his promo. But yeah, once they get into that story, I did
love the ending. Should I sit at a table? Should I sit at the bar? No, should I sit at the pub?
Sit in a bar, or should I sit at the head of the table?
That was brilliant. So I guess the next question is, your thoughts on that? Rock Roman, is that Elimination Chamber in Australia, or is that WrestleMania?
It's a WrestleMania match that's going to happen at Elimination Chamber. That's what I think is going to happen.
Do you think? Yeah.
I didn't believe that at first, but I think you're right. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm. I can't see it happening at Elimination Chamber. I can't imagine.
You know what? I think Mex is right, because I think we're no longer in... Don't get me wrong, WrestleMania will always be the granddaddy of them all. But with the whole PLE thing they're doing with Nick Khan and making all these major main events be special, and I think they're just they want to do just WrestleMania-like pay-per-views.
Yeah, and it's a stadium of 70,000, isn't it?
Yeah, right, the year again. They're going to bring it. Royal Rumble's going to be a banger. Then the Chamber's going to be a banger, so WrestleMania is definitely going to be a banger.
Yeah,
so
that's how it should be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly that. They know that. So I think now where wrestling is so where it's now is like on some next level now in terms of popularity and everything. They could afford to do this now. They can afford to actually have a WrestleMania match at Elimination Chamber, have that feel, and still deliver with a Cody Reigns main event, and have everybody still invested in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Rex is right. I think it's a great way to have Roman's... Come on, think about it. Roman defeated them all.
Yeah, and
the final beat someone like The Rock, that's like... Imagine the celebration. That on the Raw, him like, I've beaten The Rock, I've beaten them all, I've beaten the greatest. No one could beat me. And then Cody's music hits because he won Royal Rumble again for the second year in a row.
We need to find another way to get there, but I don't need Cody to win that Rumble again.
Elimination Chamber, maybe Cody wins
the Chamber. Yeah. But yeah, I think back-to-back Punk. Rumbles might be overkill. Maybe Punk. Punk, yeah. Maybe
Punk versus who? Seth.
Rollins, yeah.
So yeah, that does make sense. I just want, I don't know. There's a part of me where I'm like, The Rock would want to be at WrestleMania, main event it, but...
Maybe, yeah. I mean, part of them might be like, yeah, screw the story.
Yeah.
But you know what? The story could still continue, because if Reigns beats the Rocket Mania and then you go again for another year and it's Cody again, and make that.
I was saying the other day, there's actually no, the ties to this is that Cody needs to beat Roman for his championship, not just any world championship. He needs to win Roman's one. That's the story. And if you want to go a step further, it should probably happen in Madison Square Garden, where his dad was, you know, cheated out, hulked out of the championship. WrestleMania, it's the big stage, but it doesn't actually need to be WrestleMania for Cody's story to be.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I'm going to say that WWE, like you just said, Skillet, they're trying to make every event feel big. And this is the good thing about, you know, you'll be watching AEW, watching a pay-per-view, and... It's only now you might feel all in, all out. Is there bigger ones that they care more about? But realistically, they're all on the same wavelength. You can get Kenny Omega versus Danielson anywhere. It doesn't matter what the pay-per-view is called. Mm. But as WWE fans, we've been conditioned by them to only think it's only WrestleMania where big things happen. It's only Rumble where big things happen. And it looks like Triple H and Nick Khan are trying to get us out of that, you know, that mind frame. And, you know, we put on these big shows everywhere. This Australia show is bigger than WrestleMania in terms of capacity.
Yeah.
Stadium's bigger. So why wouldn't you put The Rock versus Roman? That event is next month. That stadium's only half full in terms of sales right now.
Oh, really? Yeah. So well, that makes sense then.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah, especially if you want people to now think, oh, Elimination Chamber is that place where we had, you know, Roman versus Rock. Remember when Eddie won the title at Lesnar, against Lesnar? Mm. No way out. They don't even have no way out anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, we have to get out, and it's WWE's fault, like I said. Mm. You have to start making everything feel special. Money in the Bank this year is in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, those fans are going to go crazy over there. Mm. Backlash is in Lyon, in France.
Yeah.
You know,
and Backlash was great last year.
Yeah, in Puerto Rico. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, it's exciting times. It's great times. And we're all going to be a part of history this year. And we're going to witness loads of great stuff with wrestling content, of course. Ash, thank you for joining us today, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah.
You gotta come on more often, man. Let us know. I'll throw out some dates when we do any physical recordings and obviously online recordings. And where can people find you on the social media? If anyone has liked what you had to say today and like, oh, this guy's pretty, you know, he's pretty cool. Where can they follow you?
On Instagram, I'm Ashton_Owen. And on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, is just Ashton Owen, then _.
So we had the Golden Globes last night. Did you witness that?
No, but I saw a few clips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Robert Downey Jr. won. What did he win? Best Supporting Actor for Oppenheimer?
Yeah, and what's his name? Peaky Blinders guy. What's his name? Best Actor. Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy, yes, for Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah.
And The Bear. Have you watched the show The Bear?
I haven't. I really want to see it.
Brilliant show. Yeah. That won an award for best. They called it Best Musical/Comedy. Yeah, but if I'm honest with you, even though it has comedic elements, it's got no musical elements. Yeah, as much as it does have comedic elements, it's a really good drama. In my opinion, I think it's a drama series. Beautiful show, Disney Plus. Check out The Bear.
Yeah,
great cast, great acting, great storytelling. Do it.
I will.
Next, where can they find you? Social media from
WrestleManiac UK on all social medias.
And what is WrestleMania? What can we look forward to with WrestleManiac this year?
You might not
have to say a lot of stuff, but what can you share with us?
I'm just doing more podcasting on my channel. I'm trying to get more into like Instagram still. Like, I don't know what it is. I can sit in front of like a camera and stuff here, but like Instagram storying and stuff like that, holding my phone like this, I find it weird. But I'm kind of trying to get out of that funk this year and try to be just more generally social and just not when I'm trying to produce stuff. And then I'm doing the, like I say, making more kind of presenting wrestling in different ways on different shows and stuff on the Rest Things channel. So we've got our tier rankings. We've got a new one that we're going to start filming very soon. All the other shows that you know, we're doing, the Guess Who Song It Is, Rest Things House, that kind of stuff.
Bring that stuff back, bro. Big up Rest Things all day, man. I know they're going to have a prosperous 2024. And I think, you know, there's a loads of new wrestling podcasters coming up. Big up to everybody who's emerging in the game. It's a slug, but keep doing what you're doing because you're going to do nothing but love it and great things may happen from it. I go by the name of Skillet. I'm going to sign up for everybody. Follow us at The Kickout, Kickout Podcast, The Kickout, at The Kickout, in all social media platforms. And we'll be back with some more wrestling talk. See you later, guys. Good night, everybody. I'll see you guys later. Peace.